Welcome, everybody. This is Karen from the Law of Attraction Tips, and today I have with us Simon T. Bailey, the author of Release Your Brilliance and international or renowned speaker. And so welcome, Simon. It's so great to have
you
on the call today.
Yeah, good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you. And so Simon and I, we connected. I had written an article recently about leveraging your brilliance, and so Simon and I connected, and so I thought this would be a great opportunity to kind of bring forth what ideas that that Simon has. His book is in the top 100, I saw, of self-help books on Amazon. That's very impressive, Simon. So
thank you.
How exciting is that?
A lot of hard work.
Yeah, I bet. So Simon, tell me a little bit about your story, you know, in terms of how you came to find your brilliance and anything, you know, kind of any stories that you have around attraction and that whole process, that would be great.
Yeah, and thank you so much. I, for a number of years, was just struggling with trying to answer four questions. Where have I been? Why am I here? What can I do? And where am I going? And the more and more I begin to put those questions out to the universe, I started to attract people into my space, into my quantum field, who really began to help me clarify the answers that I was looking for. And one of them was my mentor. And he said to me, you weren't born to fit in, you were born to be brilliant. And when he said it, I was like, really? Are you kidding me? And no one had ever told me that I was born to be brilliant. So literally for the next 7 years, I really just tried to struggle and understand this whole thing of being brilliant. And the more and more I began to study the word out, the word brilliant first appeared in the 17th century, comes from a French word called brillier, which means to shine. And I started down this whole path, Karen, to say, you know what, everybody has the ability to shine, but sometimes we forget how to. And if we forget how to, we never attract people into our space who can help us live bigger. So this whole brilliance thing is about going on a journey of discovery. That's probably the best way to say it.
Mm-hmm. So, and I just love that you're born to be brilliant, because I think we forget that. And you talk about this in your book, too, about how we know it as when we're young, but we forget it as we go along.
Yeah, and there's no one in our life to really come along and to really aid and help and push and encourage us. And when we do find our brilliance, here's the beauty. When we do find our brilliance and we choose no longer to play small or to live down but to really live up to, all of a sudden, everybody that has been assigned to aid and help us be brilliant, they will show up in our space almost as if they're summons to us. And it's because of what we are putting out into the universe. And we just literally, we start to find our people, if I could be so bold to say. But we start to find those people that really, really get us.
Wow. Yeah. And so we start to attract those people in.
Right. Right, because our body is an electromagnetic force field that attracts like-minded objects. And so the energy that we all have, and I call it our brilliant energy, it vibrates from the inside out. So literally, the moment somebody steps into your space, they can pick up on just kind of where you are. So if you're around a person with positive energy, they rub off on you. Or if you're around a person with negative energy, you're like, oh, wait a minute, what's going on? And so when you tap into that brilliant it factor, that brilliant you, and you really begin to live your life in true alignment, where there's an alignment of head, heart, and hands, you literally are releasing your brilliance from the inside out, literally.
Wow. So I like what you just said, head, heart, and hands.
Mm-hmm.
So that really just kind of, you know, I think connect. It sounds like that connects to just our spirit, our, you know, the material world, and I guess, I don't know, our higher self, right? Is that
absolutely
how you kind of imagine it?
Yeah, it's one of the things I had read a long time ago was by Rabbi Harold Kushner called What Matters the Most in Life. and he talked about this whole concept of emotional congruency. And when I looked at that, I said, well, another way of saying emotional congruency, which in his words is when everything you think, do, say, and feel is in full alignment. And when I looked at it, I said, you know what, it's really about the alignment of head, heart, and hands. And when you have the alignment of head, heart, and hands, your feet will follow. But not only will your feet follow, you will then begin to vibrate into the universe that I am happy, healthy, and whole, W-H-O-L-E, and there is no hole, H-O-L-E, in my soul, because I really, really know who I am congruently, and I begin to just walk in that vein. Then what happens is all of a sudden you just have serendipitous moments when you just kind of bump into things. You just bump into people. I'll give you a quick example. Last week I was on the phone, and I've been saying for the last few months that, you know, it's time for me to be bigger, it's time for me to play bigger, it's time for me to think bigger. So I get this call out of the blue from a producer in L.A., and he says, hey, you know, we're looking for somebody with your expertise. We're, you know, working on a show, and your name was given to us. And so he tells me the name of the person, and Karen, I don't have for the life of me an idea who this person is. And he says, you know, when are you going to be out in L.A.? I said, well, guess what? I'm going to be in L.A. next week. And he says, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, I'll be there for a week. And he says, well, can you come by and meet the executive producer? And I said, absolutely. So I went and did it. And met the executive producer, and the executive producer is just going on and on about this person who gave them my name. And I went and met with them, had a great meeting. But the whole point is, when you decide that you're going to have an alignment of head, heart, and hands, all of a sudden you release something into the universe where someone who has been assigned to aid or help you will mention your name to the right person at the right place, and it's like the stars align. I just happened to be coming to L.A., and it, like, totally worked out. You see what I'm saying?
It was cool.
It was totally cool. But I'm learning. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I just love when those happen. I love when those moments happen.
Yeah. And, you know, we can have more of those moments every day once we just get in the flow. Just, like, get in the flow and expect it and don't see it as strange, but literally say, this is how I live my life. And this is how I've lived my life for the last 10-plus years. When I got it, I'm like, oh, I'm getting in the flow.
Well, so for our listeners, what would be some of the steps for them to actually start getting in the flow?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's taking time, number one, to be silent, to really get quiet, and just really begin to listen and meditate. Meditation is all about quieting the chatter of the mind. So just really coming to a place where you can be quiet, you can journal, you can write down and say, what is happening right now in this moment? Because moments create momentum, and momentum creates monumental results. So that's number one. Number two, think about as you go throughout the day, there will be moments when you can be driving to work or going about your day, and you will have a daydream. You'll just get a flash of insight. Capture that moment, what is happening in that moment, and bring it to speech. Because if it wants to happen, it has to be spoken. So you have to literally begin to speak out loud and say, I am happy, healthy, and whole. My business is increasing. I am a giver. You just whatever that flash of insight is that comes in your mind in a daydream, or even when you're sleeping at night and you might have a dream and you get up and say, my God, I had a dream. And a dream is a sneak preview of a coming attraction. So you got to write it down. You got to capture it, because it literally becomes a deja vu moment. And then the third thing you have to begin to think about is, who are the folks that I am associating with that are causing me to move forward, causing me to stay stuck, or causing me to move backward? Because people are like elevators. They take you up and they take you down. And at times you have to look and examine your relationship portfolio to really understand, in my life, who are the assets, who are the liabilities that really enable me to be all that I can be? Or are there some relationships that perhaps you need to reevaluate, because they ultimately impact what you produce and who you become?
Mm-hmm. I so agree with that. I see so many people stuck because of again, those associations. And you know, why do you think people are so scared to let those go?
It's comfortable, and it's easy to continue to toss it over and over and over and over again in your mind instead of saying, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm finished. That's it. I'm moving on. It's just sometimes easier to hold on to it and instead of letting it go. And I think those who do let it go, they come to a place where there's no regrets. Those that hold on to it because they choose to. And there's a fear of, so what am I going to do? What's going to happen if I let this go? And you have to. You have to.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Here's the whole big deal. You have to let it go in order to let it come. You have to let it go in order to let it come. What's to come? All of the things that you deserve, all of the goodness, all of the happiness, all of the love, all of the peace of mind, those things can't come to a crowded, contaminated, dysfunctional, fearful mindset. And a part of being brilliant and releasing your brilliance, and as you get more and more into the book, the whole big deal is, do you want to be brilliant or do you want to stay average? And some people, they stay average because average is safe. But brilliant is saying, you know what, I'm going to get out on the edge of adventure and I'm going to go for it. Those who are average or choose to be average, they're comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with being comfortable and staying in a comfort zone, but the world is passing you by. And those who choose to be brilliant become change agents. Those who choose to be average, they're changed by change. And when you really, really are congruent and whole within your soul, you say, you know what, I'm going to be brilliant, and I'm going to start to attract into my space all of the things that I deserve, whatever that might be.
You know, can you talk about the universal assignment? I know you're talking about this in here, but can you just talk specifically about what that is?
Yes, Aristotle made a powerful statement. He said, where the universe intersects with a need in the world and your talent and gift, therein lies your vocation. So at the intersection of what's the need in the world, what's my talent, my gift, my experience, therein lies your vocation. And when I read that, I was just so like, whoa, that's your universal assignment. And when you discover your universal assignment, you realize that no one can do what you do like you. And when you do it, that's just your thing. When you hear Susan Boyle sing, you're like, wow, this sounds like an angel. When you witness the incredible paintings, you know, of all the incredible artists, you're like, whoa, that's their thing. When you see an entertainer, or when you look at these incredible buildings, the architecture, you're like, that person's universal assignment was to do that. So your universal assignment is to really leverage your it factor. It's to tap into the one thing that you've been put on the universe to do. So here's the whole big deal. Why weren't you born in the 18th century or the 17th century? It's because you weren't needed. Your assignment did not have a problem to solve. Your assignment had to exist in the 21st century. So that means by the mere fact that there is a problem in the world, you have been assigned with the giftings, the talent, the ability to solve it. As you realize right now, there is a huge social consciousness that's happening literally on the globe. And I was just talking with a friend of mine the other day, and she was telling me about, she heard that these school children in a certain inner city that all the shoes that they ever had were the shoes on their feet, and many of them did not have shoes. And she said when she heard it, she turned to her husband, and she was crying. She says, we have to do something about that. And he said, okay. And he said, let's create a foundation called Saving Souls. And it's Souls, S-O-L-E. And so they literally have begun to solicit funds to begin to put shoes on children's feet. And that's their universal assignment. There was something that they heard, a problem that needed to be solved, and they were like, that's me. And so in the future, people will be paid not just in dollars and cents, but will be paid with just intrinsic value by the problems they solve and the solutions they find, not just the product or service that they offer. And the reason, Karen, I'm so adamant about finding your universal assignment, because I think people have really begun to wake up within this last decade, and even as we move into a new decade, and many people went to work 30 years ago and they settled for a chair, a check, and a cup of coffee in Cubicle Farm, and woke up one day and say, this is not me. This just doesn't work. What is my assignment? Why am I here? And they've discovered that the greatest tragedy in life is not death. The greatest tragedy in life is to be alive and not know why. So a part of that universal assignment is really answering the why and saying, what problem am I here to solve? And how can I be a solution?
Yeah, wow, that's great. Now, I mean, so, you know, in talking about universal assignment and, you know, where the world's need intersects with what your brilliance is, does everybody's universal assignment have to be really big? Because I think that's really scary to a lot of people.
That's a great question. You know, in the book Release Your Brilliance, one of the things I say is that your picture may never be on the cover of Time magazine, and we may never hear about you, you know, in the media. So your universal assignment is not to everyone. It's to that one someone. And that one someone could be your loved one who is maybe dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's. And as they have entered into the winter season of their life, could it be that your universal assignment is to help them transition peacefully and to live out the best years of their life as well as they can? So that universal assignment is not, you know, oh, my God, you got to go to Hollywood and you got to do this and you got to be famous. And no, that one universal assignment can be that neighbor across the street that just needs you to go and buy groceries for them or take them, you know, on errands. Or it might be that college person who their parents may have passed away and they need surrogate parents to be there for them, a place for them to come home, you know, during the holidays. So that universal assignment is bigger than what the media would say. It's really understanding, how do I look around where I am, my neighborhood, my community, my social circles, and say, how do I best serve humanity right here, right now?
And I love that. I think that's just so important and so key, because again, when people talk about, you know, we all talk about purpose, and I think there's so many people wandering around going, well, I don't know what my purpose is, and they think again it has to be this big grand scheme, and yet it doesn't have to be. It has to be, you know, whatever drives your heart, whatever is resonating with you, whatever just again lifts you up, which could be for one other person. And you know, it's like that story, you know, where it's just going along the shoreline and throwing back starfish, and it's like, well, you can't do it all, but you know, the story is, well, it made a difference to that one starfish, and that's exactly the same thing. I think that is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that, you know, just in kind of wrapping up, Simon, is there anything else that, you know, again, your book is just absolutely wonderful, and I've enjoyed every page that I've read so far. And I haven't gotten to the end, and so I'm just dying to get to the end of it now. But
Well, I won't give the end away, but I will quote one of my favorite quotes that I put in the book is found on page 178, and it's a quote from the Scottish Himalayan expedition, and the quote talks about the moment one commits to oneself, then providence moves to all sorts of things begin to emanate from the decision, raising in one's favor unforeseen incidents, material assistance, and meetings, all because a person committed to the future. So literally, brilliance is all about committing to thyself first. And when you commit to yourself, it's a whole chain reaction that literally it's a domino effect. Things start literally lining up for you, all because of a decision to commit to you. When I committed to leave Disney to do what I'm doing and to turn down four jobs right when the country, the United States, was going to war with Iraq, corporations were laying off by the hundreds of thousands, and I decided that I would cash in my entire 401k with significant Disney stock, take out a credit on the house back when you can actually do that, and commit to and I didn't know at the time I was trying to release my brilliance. I was on a journey to even find that. But when I committed to that, all of a sudden, all of the relationships that I needed to make, I began to make because I was in the right place at the right time. And there's a lot of people at times who may be cash rich but relationship poor. And when you really tap into your brilliance and really come to a place of how do I give more than get, all and how do I really begin to posture myself, I discover that it's all about commitment. It's about committing to and saying yes to yourself. And when you do, you release your brilliance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. I really do love that. And it's available to everybody, not just to some. Right?
Oh, totally, yeah. This is not rationed out, and this is not, you know, for those on the upper echelons of society. This is for everyday people. I'm just an everyday person who just made a decision and said, you know what, enough. I got to find my brilliance. And I believe everybody has that little it factor. They have something in them that the moment they release it, they begin to attract others to their space who will help them release more of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Simon. This has just been so awesome to be speaking with you. You just have such great energy, great enthusiasm, and I love the way you write this. I love the way that you speak about this. And again, for everybody, thanks so much for joining us. Simon, thank you so much for joining us and taking the time out of your really busy schedule to be with us here today. Yeah.
Thanks.
So thank you again, everybody. Commit to yourself and go out and be brilliant. So what you want to do is go and check out Simon's book, Release Your Brilliance, at Amazon.com, and check out his website at releaseyourbrilliance.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you again. Bye-bye.